This morning, we're in Matthew 11. This is a three-part series. I'm just filling in this second part, and then Sean will be back next week for the final installment. But before we go there, before we get into the Word, I don't know what your week's been like. I don't know maybe what you've been through this week and what's on your mind even this morning. But I believe that whatever the case is, I believe that God sees you and that God wants to speak to you today through His Word. So let's pray. And if you believe that, let's really take a moment, let's set this time aside, and let's try our best to hear from God, to hear what He has to say to us through His Scripture. So let's pray, and then we'll get into the Word. So Lord, I pray that You would give us spiritual eyes and ears to see and hear what You have to say to each and every one of us. I pray that Your Word would be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And Lord, I pray that You would meet us right where we are and help us to have practical application that we can take from Your Word and live a life that is closer to You. Lord, we pray that we'll leave this place being doers of the Word and not hearers only. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. 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 So Matthew 11, verse 28 and 30, we're going to get there first, NIV. Let's go ahead and put that on the screen, the first slide there. It is, if you have your paperback Bibles, you can flip to it. It says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So I have a photo of a yoke. So this is what a yoke actually looks like. It's not something that we see every day, but it would have been very, very common in Jesus' time because there weren't tractors that plowed the earth. They would have a team of oxen. And in fact, it's really kind of funny. My grandpa, did anybody else have Southern grandparents? Anybody? My great-grandparents were from Tennessee and Southern Tennessee and West Virginia. And I would visit them as a kid, and it would be like 90 degrees in there. It was always super hot, and it was decorated like a Cracker Barrel. There was a yoke on the wall. There was a musket. There was one of those saws that's painted, like one of those decorative saws with a two-person saw. And so that's how I remember seeing a yoke the first time as a kid. That's what a yoke is. It's actually a work tool that is used to connect two animals together, and its main use is to allow for twice the amount of power for pulling something or plowing the ground. And so I have another photo here. You can actually see, you know, here's an old photo of a yoke being used to pull this cart or this wagon, and that's the whole purpose, is you have two animals here, and you can have twice the output. So when we look at this passage, this is really kind of weird if you think about it, and I'll explain what I'm saying. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Okay, I like that. That sounds good, right? So, but then the next part is, take my yoke upon you, which we're talking about a work tool. Okay, you're tired, you're weary, you're burdened. Take my yoke upon you. And I don't know about you, when I'm weary and when I'm burdened and I'm tired, I want a vacation. I want a nap. I want something that's going to, you know, feel like it's going to recharge me. And Jesus is saying, no, here's a work tool. So stay with me here because this is critical. I don't go to this translation very often, but I want to go to the Message translation because I like the way this is written, and this is really interesting, the way this is translated in the Message. I should have that up there. It's a photo of the Message translation. Should be before that or right after that. I'll read it though, and he'll find it. So the Message translation says, and if you have the YouVersion Bible app, you can just flip to it. It's actually a photo, Jeff. It's not a text there. It says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." I love the very beginning part. Are you tired, worn out, burnt out from religion? Many of us here in this room and maybe watching online have attended church our whole lives. We show up every Sunday. We give our tithes, our offerings. We know the church culture. We know when to sit and when to stand and when to come up for communion. We know all the traditional hymns. I grew up with the hymnal, you know, with the hymn book. And we volunteered, we've served, yet something still doesn't feel right. And I don't know if you can relate to this morning. With all of those things, we're still tired, not just physically and emotionally tired, but spiritually tired. And here's why. Because we've been pursuing a religious life instead of a life with him. We've been coming to church instead of coming to him. And I'm gonna tie these two things together. But this is what I really see in this text. Jesus says, "Come to me," not "come to church." Now, obviously, we should come to church. We need to be together. I'm not saying don't come to church. But Jesus is telling us, "Come to me." And deep down, you know, when we feel this way, we know that life isn't supposed to feel this way. God didn't create us to live a life feeling miserable and on the go and burnt out all the time. And maybe you have felt this way. You're tired of the grind, tired of the stress, tired of being miserable, tired of working religiously. There's too many problems to solve. There's too much weight to carry, and there's too much pain to bear. And I'm just tired of the way I'm doing life. And then every day you wake up and think, there has to be a better way. And there is. I heard a preacher say something like this. He said, "The greatest enemy of the life you want may be the life that you're living. The greatest enemy of the life you want may be the life you're living." There is a better way. And it's not just knowing the ins and outs of church, not just knowing the truth of the scriptures, but learning the way of Jesus. Not just knowing the truth of Jesus, but knowing the way of Jesus. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened." You know, I was brought up in church, like I've mentioned, and I was really taught to memorize scripture. It was a really heavy emphasis in Sunday school when churches still had Sunday school. Anybody remember that? We had Sunday school and then church service. And I would take a lot of pride in how much I knew. My dad was a Sunday school teacher. And honestly, he probably has way more scriptures memorized than I do. And I really believe scripture memorization is important. In fact, we see in scripture that Jesus, when he's tempted in the desert, what does he do? He quotes scripture to the devil to get him to go away. But being in the church for such a long time, if we aren't aware and if we aren't careful, we can begin to fall into a trap where we're learning about Jesus and about scripture, but not pursuing a life of learning from him. If we go back to the NIV passage, it says, and Sean's going to really dive into this, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Not learn about me, but learn from me. And that's different. There's a difference of learning about something and learning from Jesus. And so if we fall into this trap, we can start to fall into the trap of looking at the Bible almost as like a historical document and Jesus as this historical figure. And we learn about him when we remember all these scriptures and memorize them. And all of that knowledge is really important. But actually knowing him and learning from him is the goal. Instead of looking at it as a historical document or Jesus as a historical figure that we learn about, we look at him as a risen Savior that we learn from. And so after growing up in the church, I served in youth ministry for several years. And we had a community youth group in College Corner. And I did that for about 3 or 4 years with a collaboration of a few other churches in Liberty. And I stepped away from that. I kind of became stagnant in my faith for a while, to be totally honest. And then after that, I finished at Miami University. I worked in banking for several years. I worked at Fifth Third Bank. And I began attending a large church in Harrison, Ohio, which is kind of far away from here, only about an hour, actually. It's not that far. But I began attending a church there, and my faith was really reignited. I attended there with my family, with my brother. He was a worship leader. And it was like the God's calling of ministry on my life had become much more apparent to me. And then I learned that the church was connected with a Bible college. So I did 2 years of Bible college while I was there. And then before I knew it, I was suddenly working at the church. I had started, you know, serving at a high level. I went through the Bible college and then suddenly I had an opportunity to work there. And I left my job at the bank and I began to work there. And I was the small groups director and video director. And I don't know if anybody realizes those are two dramatically different jobs, right? But if you work in the church world, you realize that churches try to do as much as they can with the staff that they have. So I was doing both of those things and I fell in love. I didn't plan on this happening, but I fell in love with the craft of filmmaking and photography. And I felt like God was giving me a new and exciting way to bring the church to the world. And it was really exciting. The first year or so of me being on staff, and I started that job in 2019, but then suddenly, March of 2020, COVID happens, and the physical doors of the church close. And the way we communicated with the congregation was through video and through live streaming. And my job absolutely exploded. Everyone else I was on staff with seemed to get somewhat of a break. Like I kept hearing from other ministry people that like, oh, God just wants us to rest during this time. And it wasn't really happening for me. I was really like, that's not really what's going on for me. And, I was really burning the candle at both ends. And Henry was a newborn. He was born in November of 2019. And life was crazy. But I got to a point where you can ask Miranda, I got absolutely burnt out. And I didn't plan. I was working so much and I cared so much about what the church was doing that I became burnt out because I was doing too much. And I haven't really shared this with a lot of people, but it was really probably the most tiring season I can ever remember, having a newborn and toddler at home. And it was just go, 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 go. And on the outside, everything might have looked fine, but on the inside, I was so frustrated. How could the life and job that I had longed for feel so heavy? And my joy was really kind of depleted. And it was a season where I felt like everyone around me was making constant withdrawals from me and not making any deposits. Maybe you can relate to that. Maybe you've been there before where it feels like I'm giving a lot, but I'm not receiving a lot from others. And what I realized is I worked so much, I began to neglect my devotion time, my time in prayer. I tried to work out of my own strength, and I didn't realize it as it was happening, but I was trying to do everything myself, serving the church, serving the ministry, all in the name of ministry. And it backfired. It backfired on me. And the way I had been doing the work of God was destroying God's work in me. I'm going to say that again. The way that I was doing the work of God, the work of the ministry, was beginning to destroy the work God had been doing in me, because I became resentful, I became frustrated, and it was a difficult time. But Jesus shows us that there is a better way. Let's look at another passage that's connected, where Jesus talks about connecting to him. We're going to go to John chapter 15, verses 4 through 5. I should have this on the screen. Jesus says, "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." So often we're going through life attempting to do things in our own power and in our own strength. And Jesus is telling us time and time again here in Scripture, you can't get it done on your own. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And that's not a jab. Like, Jesus isn't making a jab at you like, oh, you're not capable enough to do it on your own. It's instruction. It's correction. And it's through Jesus' loving kindness, he reveals how much more enjoyable life can be when we're connected to him, how much more we can accomplish when we team up with him, when we yoke up with him, how much further we can go. And I really, truly believe, you know, we're in Union County. We're in a rural area. Liberty, Union County doesn't need a church with more religion, with more practices and things. It doesn't need more people that just show up to church and go through the motions and what looks good on the outside. Union County needs you and me to be connected to the true vine and live out our God-given potential to serve him and to draw others to him. God wants to team up with you and me. He says it here in Scripture both times. He wants us to yoke up and team up with him so that we can live out our will. You know, people question, what am I supposed to do? What's God's will for my life? The first thing you need to do is identify who you are in Christ. When you understand who you are in Christ, then you know what to do. Who, I've heard another pastor say this, who before do. Understand who you are, and then you'll know what to do. When you understand who you are in Christ, then you'll know what to do. The Church of Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. And it's important that we are a light in the community that we are in, that we go out and we represent him the way that he wants us to represent him. The Church of Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. And Jesus is inviting us to a better way, to be joined to him, to just believe his truth, but to live his way, to live like Jesus lived, to take off whatever yoke we currently have on of trying to do things perfectly and things in our own strength, and to put on his yoke, because he says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Come to Jesus and he will give you rest. And you don't have to earn it. It's his gift. Take his yoke and join him and do life as Jesus is guiding us. And that's really it. That's really the end of almost the end of my message. I know it doesn't sound It might sound like there's not, what else is there? That's it. Understand who you are in Christ and pursue life with him. Pursue who he is. And the practices of the church are important things that I'm not trying to diminish at all. But the pursuit of him is the most important thing, to learn from him. Not to just have Jesus joined to our schedule that we've created, or joined to us to be joined to religion, but to be truly joined to him. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for teaching us and for giving us the ability to team up with you. Lord, we believe that you have what's best for us in our lives, Lord, that you love us and that you have a great plan for each and every one of us that's in here this morning. Lord, we long to know your truth, but we also long to live the way you lived. Lord, teach us. Teach us, Lord. Help us to learn from you, not to just learn about you, but to learn from you. Lord, help us every single day to understand who we are in you and to go out and do your will that you have in our lives. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, before as we take communion, I want us to reflect on who we are in Christ and what Jesus' sacrifice truly means for each of us as we live our lives on a daily basis here in our community. So